we're delivering, really for the first time, omni-channel patient support experiences.
That was Molly Stallings, Vice President, Patient Link and Patient Experience here at TrialCard, and today's guest on TrialCard Talk, news and information on the biopharma and life science industry and the role TrialCard plays in it. Here's your host, Landy Townsend.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to TrialCard Talk, the official monthly podcast of TrialCard Incorporated. TrialCard is a full-service life sciences commercialization company providing comprehensive solutions that span the entire biopharmaceutical value chain. In addition to a foundation of fully integrated, digitally enabled patient support services, its broader offerings include everything from late-stage clinical trial supply management to post-marketing HCP engagement services and proprietary data-as-a-service payer intelligence and insights. Founded in 2000, TrialCard provides commercialization support for more than 400 life science customers and has connected over 36 million patients with more than $22 billion in branded drug savings to date. The company is headquartered in Morrisville, North Carolina. For more information about TrialCard, please visit us at trialcard.com and reach out via email at sales@trialcard.com. My name is Landy Townsend, the VP of Communications and Marketing here at TrialCard. And joining me as usual is Eric Manning, the Associate Creative Director for TrialCard. Eric, how are you today?
Doing excellent. I hope you are.
I am doing great. We're
nice.
in the middle of, we're approaching the July 4th holiday. We've got July 4th coming up later this week. Any big July 4th plans or traditions in your family, Eric?
No, just make sure that on July 5th you have all 10 fingers. You don't want to be daring to anybody to see how long you can hold on to a firecracker before you toss it. Be safe out there. Let's not go to the emergency room there, kids.
That's right. There's our impromptu public service announcement to be careful around firecrackers.
And people outside of our immediate area may not know that the really good firecrackers, you got to go to South Carolina to get. So anybody traveling for the next few days down to South Carolina, be careful. Don't lose any digits by setting off the big boomies.
It's interesting to know which states have the more or less stringent firework laws or sales or whatever.
Yeah, well, South Carolina doesn't even have a helmet law. You can ride a motorcycle with no helmet.
Well, see, growing up in Kentucky, we had to go to Indiana or Tennessee to get the really good fireworks.
Oh, really? Okay.
But, so there's certain states that allow more firepower in there.
But I bet in Kentucky you don't have ABC stores, the whole concept of which I don't understand.
No ABC stores in Kentucky. No.
Yeah, look up what ABC store is. It's a weird thing.
That's a different topic altogether.
Yeah.
We have a great episode planned for today. We have one of our esteemed colleagues here, and we're going to talk about all things patient engagement. It's very important for life science companies to deliver highly personalized patient support experiences. And although TrialCard's been doing that for a long time, we've recently launched something that's going to really take patient engagement to the next level. So without further ado, let's get to our guest. Our guest today on TrialCard Talk is none other than Molly Stallings. Molly, welcome to this episode of TrialCard Talk. Just give our listeners a brief introduction to Molly.
Hi, Landy. Thanks for having me here today. I'm Molly Stallings. I'm a VP of Patient Link Patient Experience at TrialCard. Been here about 8 years, so I know a little bit about the place, but happy to be here chatting with you today.
You do. So as Molly said, today we're going to talk about Patient Link and all things patient experience, patient support. So as we've talked about in episodes past, we've had a very busy 3.5 years acquiring a number of companies. But one thing we're going to talk about today is our recently rebranded patient communication platform. We call it Patient Link by TrialCard. Molly, tell us a little bit about Patient Link by TrialCard and what it can do.
Yeah, so thanks, Landy. Patient Link is Trial Card's enterprise SaaS platform. SaaS is software for service platform, really designed to simplify access and engagement with patient support programs. And we're doing this really all to improve adherence and engagement with medications. So the platform is multi-system, interoperable, and delivers an omni-channel experience that we think really brings life science leaders one step closer to meeting the needs of today's demanding healthcare marketplace. Also, it aligns with the industry's shift towards healthcare consumerism, and really empowers leaders to deliver highly personalized patient support experiences in ways that they never have been able to do before.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about consumerism in the past and meeting patients where they are. I'm holding up a mobile phone right now, but we're all so connected to our mobile phones. But it's really important for healthcare, which has been sort of reticent to jump into, consumerism, right? It's really important for healthcare to begin meeting patients where they're comfortable. We've talked in the past, Molly, about Amazon and about Netflix, yeah, and everybody wanting everything at their fingertips. But this really does that for healthcare, right?
That's exactly right, Landy.
It's important that healthcare introduces consumerism, but there are a lot of digital engagement platforms on the market today. So, Molly, what's different between PatientLink and some of these other platforms that are out there?
Yeah, really good question. So I think first and foremost, we're helping our clients address really one of the most urgent challenges as it relates to patient support programs today in ways that our competitors aren't. We're using modern technology to better connect patients to the services that they need. Let me take a moment and explain a little bit about what that means. So patient services, as many of you know, have been on a growth trajectory for years. Pharma companies are continuing to invest heavily in patient support services, and the market for patient engagement solutions, was almost $8.9 billion in 2017 and is projected to reach almost $19 billion by the end of this year, which is really a growth of over 16% in just a short period of time. But what's interesting about that is that even with that investment and evidence that patients do better when they engage with those services, the awareness and adoption of patient services has actually not improved at all, even with that increase in investment. Actually, Accenture recently conducted a survey that reported just an average of only 16% of the 12,000 patients that were surveyed were even aware of the patient support services that were made available to them.
Wow, okay.
So really an advanced interoperable technology that's designed specifically to personalize patient support experiences is really game-changing for life sciences. And really, it's the first step in helping them to solve this critical issue related to low awareness of these programs.
Molly, are digital patient support programs and platforms, is that a, when we talk about the demographics, is it a young person's game or is everybody in?
You know, we talked a little bit about this last time, and I'm glad you brought it up again. It's an important question and one that our clients ask a lot about. So, you know, the answer to the question, it varies certainly by therapeutic area and quite frankly, the demographic of what and whether or not a patient is living with a caretaker or a caregiver. Oftentimes, factors like that influence how accessible and really ready patients are to engage.
Probably
with
socioeconomic
those.
Status too,
sure.
So forth.
But there are, you know, when you think about the programs that we're designing through PatientLink, we design them knowing that not every patient may like to engage with a text message or an email, and which is why we kind of offer this what I call surround sound experience that really allows patients to engage through the channel that's most appropriate to them. And so we spend a lot of time talking about the digital channel, but really PatientLink and what we're doing through PatientLink is creating the flexibility through an omnichannel experience to allow patients to choose the channel that's preferable for them.
Wow, so it's totally personalized based on the disease state, the person, the other things we talked about, the age, the socioeconomic background.
And it's one that they can control, and that's an important factor too. That so many times patient support programs don't allow patients to have control over that engagement of the experience, and so much of what we're doing today is creating that flexibility and choices that put patients in the driver's seat.
Yeah. I would imagine that the life sciences companies that we work with are constantly, coming to us and trying to get a little bit closer to their patients, and this is one way that they can certainly do that.
That's right.
Yeah. So Molly, is the PatientLink technology part of all programs that have any type of patient-facing communication?
Yes, but there's a broad spectrum of solutions we can offer through the technology. So on one end of the spectrum, we can still offer standalone SMS text messaging programs and email programs. And actually, we've seen a significant adoption of SMS text in our standard retail copay programs and on the specialty medication side of our business. Text messages actually continue to be a great way to nudge. I call them digital nudges, nudge patients. And we use them really primarily to notify patients when a status has changed or when we need them to take action on something, and even when their medication's been shipped from our non-commercial dispensing pharmacy. But when patients need a slightly more curated experience, we can use those text messages to drive them to their own personalized dashboard where they can enroll into other support offerings, they can view the details of their out-of-pocket costs, and even connect with one of our clinical case managers or another representative from the program to discuss the program questions that they may have. So, when we're designing programs with our clients, rather than limit the scope of the text message to a simple reminder to fill, we really think about the experience that we're trying to create and what we need to do to create that in order to deliver the best outcome for that patient and our client. And oftentimes, in order to do that, we need to go beyond a standard text message.
So, I mentioned that the press release went out on PatientLink April 28th. I know you've been really busy with different clients and setting up programs and so forth. Is there one disease state or client that you can think of that really gravitated to this and really made the most out of the PatientLink capabilities?
Great question. Yeah, I think it's those treatments and medications that are coming to market that require a little bit more of a curated hand holding, what our industry tends to call those kind of white glove experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think we're making really great headway in shifting the market from thinking that a digital communication should replace a phone call. Right. And, that's never the case. Certainly in patient support programs, those things tend to complement each other much more than replace one another. And so oftentimes the digital channel can be used as a follow-up to a phone communication that a nurse may have delivered to a patient. Hi, Molly, here is your digital welcome kit that we just talked through on the phone call. Feel free to reference it if you have questions as you go through.
So the life science company that we work with can push as much information as they want or as little as they want, depending on the need of the drug, of the program, and of the patient. And this is good for launch programs as well as products that are already established on the market.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's really around, putting together the right mix of communication channels based on where that patient is in his or her journey.
Absolutely. Okay. So what capabilities, I mentioned that we've been doing this a couple of months. Molly has been swamped with new opportunities that she's working on for certain clients. But Molly, at this point, what capabilities of PatientLink do our clients seem to be the most excited about?
Yeah, so there's three things. I'll try and move through them kind of briefly. So aside from being available on mobile, web, and native app, because all our patient link programs are available on mobile, web, and native app. Mm-hmm. All of our programs, as we had just mentioned, are multi-channel, include SMS, text, email. We have the ability to obviously place phone calls to patients. And then, of course, we have our fulfillment center. So we really are an integrated communication service offering. Secondly, there's a lot of excitement around the use of this technology to drive efficiencies at the operational level. And I'll give you an example primarily of where we're seeing that happen. You know, over 80% of inbound phone calls into our patient experience center are actually related to patient copay card questions. Mm-hmm. And now we have the ability to significantly reduce that call volume and cost for our clients by making that information available to patients on an on-demand and self-serve basis. So that's a very exciting point for our clients. And then finally, there's a lot of interest from our clients in how we're using Patient Link to prevent patients from dropping off, really, or reducing that secondary non-adherence. So a good application of that use case could be that when we see a patient hasn't refilled his or her medication, and they haven't engaged with any of the messages that their case managers may have been sending them over text, mm-hmm. we can flag them as an at-risk patient. So even if at enrollment, that patient self-identified as being an activated adherent patient, we're using the technology to override mm-hmm. that segmentation and flag them as at-risk. And from there, we can automate a workflow that delivers an escalating intervention schedule to the patient to try and rescue them. So we can move from simple text messages on one end. Mm-hmm. If we continue to see that they're not engaging, we can escalate to an outbound phone call, all really in an effort to try and rescue them and prevent them from falling
off. Gosh, that extra step for the life science company really closes the loop on maybe inaction on the patient's part and really reports back to them next steps that need to be done in order to re-engage with that patient. That's fantastic.
That's right. I mean, it's really all about facilitating a smarter allocation of resources for our clients and more efficient use of resources, really.
Molly, that's really interesting. As you're talking, I'm thinking about what a benefit it is to those companies that we work with, and what kind of information do we provide back to them? What do they get to see as a result of these efforts?
Yeah, great question. Really important, too. I mean, obviously, we've got what I kind of call our block and tackle activity and utilization reports. So these are standard reports that are made available to our clients that essentially just report out patient activity, number of communications sent out, number of communications delivered, and then the patient's engagement with those communications. Are they clicking on the text messages? Are they reading the emails? Are they picking up the phone calls? So there's kind of that utilization side of the reporting that we provide. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's analyses. And these analyses are really intended to have a discussion with the client about the effectiveness of these programs in driving increased adherence mm-hmm. to medications. Another element that we oftentimes talk about with our clients are our ability to prevent that primary non-adherence. So how can we help facilitate bringing patients into our ecosystem so that we don't lose them before they get their first medication dispensed to them?
Such an important part of the whole equation.
And then finally, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Lanny, but the last piece of information that our clients get from these programs, and potentially the most valuable, are the longitudinal insights really into that patient's experience. So we're able to provide them back with responses to surveys that patients give us through different questions that we're able to deliver through text message communications, and also information that patients are putting into their medication cabinet. So we're able to really understand the patient, the whole patient,
yeah,
versus just the patient engaging with the single medication.
This is really exciting. And as you're talking, I see your face light up when you talk about this, because you're talking about the possibilities that exist. You know, we're just sort of getting started. We're a couple of months into it, but it's really wide open as to where it could go. So that's my question for you, Molly. 2 months in, what's ahead for the PatientLink technology? What should we expect to see over the second half of 2022 and even beyond?
Yeah, great question. We're focusing in several key areas for the second half of this year and into the beginning part of next year. The first one picks up on what I was just answering or providing in the previous response, which is really around focusing on the whole patient.
Right.
And so what we're focusing on are solutions that really make it easier for patients to engage with the services that they're already engaging with. So things like advocacy groups, things like meal delivery services or transportation, even meditation type of digital health providers, and things like and mindfulness. So what we'd like to be able to see is the integration of those types of capabilities into this experience so that patients have everything in one place.
That's great.
I think secondly, we're focusing in pulling through this concept of surround sound. I was talking mm-hmm. a little bit about that earlier, but this is really around incorporating opportunities for patients to engage with the experience through alternative channels like payers and pharmacies, making PatientLink available through other community and patient organizations. So that's a lot of the areas that we're talking to our clients about in terms of just making it easier for them to engage and find the services that our clients are offering. And then finally, we're spending a lot of time talking about and working to integrate this experience into HCPR providers' workflows. So we want to be able to more easily connect patients to these services through EMRs and EHRs and things like that. Again, just to reduce the friction mm-hmm. and make it easier for both providers and patients to get connected to these services that our clients are offering their patients.
That's fantastic. So great news for clients, great news for patients. It sounds like we've just scratched the surface on PatientLink and all that it can do and all that we will do over the next year, year and a half, 2 years. So that's awesome. Molly, I think we're drawing to a close for this episode, but I just wanted to thank you for coming in. It's always good to have you in Trial Card Studios to talk about what's new. And if you'd like more information on PatientLink or any of the things that Molly talked about, you can visit patientlinkbytc.com/overview. And if you have any questions about anything you hear on Trial Card Talk, we'd love to hear from you. You can use the email address sales@trialcard.com. We're also very active on LinkedIn and Twitter, so we put out information usually daily or every couple of days on those channels as well, and we'd love to have you follow those social media channels. If you've heard something today that piques your curiosity and you want to hear more, please check out our entire library of episodes on your favorite podcast platform. And if you like what you've heard, please subscribe, rate, and review us. The Trial Card Talk podcast is a production of Trial Card Incorporated. It is edited and produced by Trial Card Associate Creative Director Eric Manning. Trial Card Talk and its content are the property of Trial Card Incorporated, Morrisville, North Carolina, USA.